So it's Roger Thompson is playing, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Well, all indications, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently, it was only a $35 fine.
Yeah, I'm really. All of the timeline is very
confusing. $35. All of that.
I don't get it.
Bro, are you serious?
I don't.
Thompson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with your boy, Albie Shore. And as always, I got my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe, with me. What's up, Dill?
Hold on. Excuse me while I prepare for this podcast. All right, I'm ready.
Attaboy. You're going, what you drinking on there, Dylan?
An IPA.
Good old IPA. American IPA. Speaking of American, we got a warm, red-blooded American, Jeremy Gillen, with us. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, man, how you doing? Great.
What the hell is that?
I'm getting into it. We're in week three of football here, or week four, depending on if you cared about those first like two games. It's been 2 weeks. It's been a full week since Texas Tech played football, and have another week to go till we play football again. I'm kind of in the state of, I forgot about last weekend. So I feel optimistic, but now we're here doing this podcast and I'm like, I forgot that happened. My optimism is plummeting.
Well, what this week, fellas, it is rivalry week. And the reason I'm talking in this Southern Texas voice here is because we are playing the Texas Longhorns, the Lone Star. Is it called the Lone Star Showdown? I know they tried to do it, like switch our, that was a Texas A&M rivalry, and they tried to switch it to Tech. I don't know if they still calling it that, but it is the premier state rivalry, I guess. Texas Longhorns, Texas Tech Red Raiders. This is the week, guys. Are you excited about it at all?
No. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Completely contrasting yes. views. Jeremy, why are you excited about this?
I'm excited because I realized that just feeling that, giving the answer like that 8-year-old kid. I'm excited because it's football. And even though I said that I'm really excited about football no matter what happens, and then I retracted that really fast when we were losing or when we were like getting. When it felt like a loss, I'm back in it. I feel like it's still football. It's still fun. There's a chance that maybe that first game was a fluke. Probably not. So I'm just being optimistic. And that just means I get a barbecue, crack a beer, and just sit down and watch football. And if it's bad enough, I'll just change the channel because I can do that.
Well, I like that optimism, Jeremy. I'm pretty sure me and Dylan are on the same page that football is awful and should be a sport that's removed from the list of sports.
Disband it,
right?
I'll hit you with a little optimism.
Okay, here we go.
We could be the University of Houston, who's been preparing for games for 4 weeks and has yet to play one.
I mean, 75 players on the Texas Tech roster have gotten COVID since July, so we probably should be the University of Houston that's actually postponed games. But that's neither here nor there. So let's go ahead and talk about the Texas Tech offense. So we're gonna start off, talking about the passing attack, stats-wise, Bowman had 430 yards. Bowman, technically, if you didn't watch the game, you would have thought Alan Bowman played a decent game. But so what can we expect against this Texas secondary, Dylan? Will Bowman at least put up the same type of numbers? Will he have a successful game? What are we looking at?
Well, there were few secondaries in the nation that were worse than Texas Tech's. Texas wasn't one of them, but they were almost. They were almost as bad as we were. So a lot of
talking about last year.
I thought Alan Bowman did play a good game last week. And I think he's in a position where he could have another really good week against a really bad Texas secondary. Outside of Caden Stearns and a sophomore corner, they're still not very much improved. So I'm optimistic about Alan Bowman's chances, but not necessarily Texas Tech's.
Caden Stearns is a, if y'all are sick and tired of hearing about the Stearns name and you're like, why am I so sick and tired of it? It's because both of his brothers played for Houston Baptist last week or 2 weeks, or I guess, yeah, last Saturday. And yeah, they absolutely, both of them absolutely torched us. Both of them are probably just as athletic as his brother, but they didn't get the looks. So that's why that Stearns name seems so familiar. Jeremy, what are you thinking about when it comes to the Tech passing attack against this Texas secondary?
It is just so, so they interviewed Herman a couple of days ago asking him about the Texas Tech game. And he, whether it was sarcasm or truth, it's really hard to tell with that guy. He was saying that he just doesn't know what to expect with Texas Tech's defense because of how prolific Houston Baptist's passing offense is. Like, hey, they pass like most of the game, so they're going to rack up the yardage. That coupled with our terrible defense. So it's kind of hard for me to get a beat on it. I want to say that for the opposite. Or I want to say the opposite of that for this game coming up. I mean, UTEP only got 3 points against Texas. Not to say that UTEP is this big powerhouse and Texas held them to just 3 points, but not to say that they're the worst team in the world and Texas held them 3 points. And I just have no idea what to expect, man. Like, I loved Alan Bowman's. Like, he seemed a little more confident at the very end, which gave me some encouragement. But there was just flashes of, or there was just traumatic PTSD moments where I was like, man, he's not leaning into his throws, or he's backing out, or he's not making the right throw, or hey, we're doing a lot of like screens and short underpasses. I did not inspire a lot of confidence going into this game against a Texas defense that has all around a lot more talent than we do.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. Houston Baptist, they also, that was the second game they played when they played us. In the first game they played against UNT, they put up points. They had they had their own air raid attack. And that's actually, their air raid attack's more of the traditional air raid than Texas. And so I see what Herman is saying when he says that it's hard to gauge the secondary because of HBU's attack. That being said, the skill level is supposed to be a lot greater on Tech side, even if Zappy is better than a normal HBU quarterback. And even if the Stearns brothers, Josh Stearns and Jarrett Stearns, are better than a normal HBU receiver, they're still not supposed to be able to just torch the secondary. And so, damn it, we're talking about Tech offense. Jeremy, you got me all mixed
up. I'm sorry, man.
talking about Tech's offense. Sorry about that. With Bowman, I think it was a lot of empty stats. He only averaged 8 yards per pass. And though, yeah, he put up 430 yards, it's still against an HBU defense. There wasn't a lot of points being put up. Texas's defense on the other side of that held UTEP to 3 points. And though it's a completely different offense, UTEP has both a hybrid attack in both offense and defense, or in both passing and running. Sorry, I'm all over the place today. In both passing and running, it's still, Texas is a lot more dominant in that game than we saw them last year. And so that does give me some cause for concern.
Well, and then not even, it's a couple, to add on to that, Alan Bowman's interception was ugly. Was like a telegraph throw, so telegraphed that a Houston Baptist defensive back could just pick it off without trouble. And as soon as he threw that interception, I was like, man, you have some gaps that I am surprised you have not filled at this point in your career against a team like Houston Baptist. Like, I remember Alan Bowman coming out freshman year, being the king shit that he was, and I was like, hey, some things have got to work out. And then at this point, we're 2 years removed from that. There are just some things, man, that it's just like, how have you not? And if, let's remember, this is the first game after a pandemic, confusion, probably weird practices and all that. So again, I'm kind of with Herman on this. I have no idea what's like. Maybe that was just a fluke and they're back in the saddle this week and it'll be a lot different. But the interception was very discouraging. And that was a moment where I was like, all right, can we please, please see somebody else at quarterback just to get a visual? Because we totally missed out on that. Letting Houston Baptist stay in the game. We didn't get to see anybody else under center.
I don't know. The backup quarterback position isn't solidified yet. They've basically said if somebody had to walk out there, it would actually be Henry Columbi, which doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in me. And they said that Albert's guy, McIver needs a little work. Needs a little work. So we're kind of stuck with Bowman, it sounds.
Well, this is the thing, is like you could not play this game well enough to where we'd be ahead, so we could find out some of those, just like some of those questions. Putting in Columbia, putting in McIver.
To blame all that on Alan Bowman, but
No, I'm not. I'm saying the coaching and our inability to get ahead far enough so that we could answer those questions.
Right.
But now we're like, oh, we still don't know. Oh, Texas is coming up this week. What if Alan Bowman goes down? Because, you know, he likes to have weird injuries against big teams. This game was disappointing in a lot of ways. I'm done there. Now,
another thing we failed to mention when talking about Alan Bowman, this is his first career start against Texas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Big game.
Yep.
That's true. He's been hurt the last two seasons.
Because we always play them in November, and Alan Bowman's
with our fifth string quarterback. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is his first game against Texas. That's actually a very good point. So that'll be interesting in itself. But now, yeah, I know you, Jeremy, you were saying that you don't blame Alan Bowman for the game. I mean, so let's switch to the other side. What about the running attack? So Roderick Thompson got in a little trouble this week. And funny enough, hey, you first see it, you're like, oh, here we go again. Best player on our offense can't play. Come to find out, it seemed to be a really minor ticket that happened over the summer. Dylan, you were saying in pre-pod, it was a $35 fine. Nothing to worry about. He's playing this weekend. He probably had to do a couple gassers, maybe run some bleachers and for a practice, and that was about it. Nothing to worry about there. Seems like LPD took it over the top. But either way, so Roderick Thompson had 118 yards last week. I would say that I'm not going to call him a bright spot because I don't think there were any bright spots, but I think he had an okay game.
He looks good. He looks ready.
He looked as expected week one, I would say.
So, but now we look at Texas's run defense, which their run defense, compared to their secondary, much better.
Much better.
And we saw that in the UTEP game where UTEP virtually couldn't get anything going. Even their quarterback, the main reason why their quarterback, Gavin Hardison, struggled so much was because there was a guy in his face at all times, right? So when it comes to their front seven, their run defense, having guys like Joseph Asai, what can Tech's offense do in the run game to get any sort of movement edgewise at all, Dylan?
I think you got to get a lot more creative in the run game this year. UTEP went 33 rushes for 43 yards. Yes, it's UTEP, but like, God, that is so bad. that's really bad. I don't even want to try and average that out. 33 rushes for 43 yards. That's really bad.
It's a yard.
I think you have to get creative in the run game. I want to see Keshawn Carter coming off the edge, jet sweeps. I want to see a lot of RPO action. I almost think you try and avoid just running up the gut at this Texas defense because I think that's really their strength is run defense. So I want to counter the run with a creative runs, RPOs, and like the short pass game.
Jeremy, what say you?
I think Dylan's right on the money. Texas has an awesome defensive line, and that proved with UTEP. I mean, UTEP ran eight different guys. they had eight different guys take the ball. And try to run it up the gut or run to the side, and they still only average like a yard and a half or whatever. We have three good running backs, each to their advantage. And we have three athletic, awesome running backs top in the league, but like we have three running backs that we can rely on to take the ball and have experience to run it. We got Sir Roderick Thompson, who has proven himself to be a pretty versatile running back. We have Taj Brooks, who per last game's tape is a small tank. And then we have Chidarius Townsend, who is kind of like this flex running back who, like Dylan is saying, I think we should be having a lot of just halfback out routes, just like swing routes, take the ball off a pass and go up, try to get away from this defensive line of Texas, because the way that our offensive line is playing, I think we may just get a little bit manhandled in this game coming up. So we're going to have to get pretty creative with getting the ball to some of our playmakers like Thompson. Maybe not traditionally as a handoff, but maybe a pitch. Maybe we'll have to do some kind of like option play that I'm not really confident in Bowman for at all. But maybe we're going to have to rely on that. And so it's just going to take a lot of creativity. And I am not sure that our coaching staff is up for that.
Yeah, you're asking this coaching staff to have creativity, which we haven't really seen in a year and a half so far. So one question I do have is, what about Xavier White? So Xavier White was listed as we didn't get to see him last week. He was listed as a running back in the week two depth chart that's going to split time with both Taj Brooks and Jadarius Townsend. How much of Xavier White do we see in this game?
I hope we see him, because I think he's the one back that could really get to the edge quickly. And I think that's what you need to do against, you know, like I said, you don't want to run it right up the gut at this Texas offense or defense. I think you need to get it outside. And I think he gives us the best chance to do that. I think he was one of those mystery COVID scratches 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They won't admit it, but he was mysteriously gone along with, you know, a handful of other players. I think he was one of those COVID scratches.
Yeah, so that, I mean, Texas was last year in the Big 12 fourth in run defense. And the three teams ahead of them were a much, much improved Oklahoma, a Iowa State, and a TCU. So that's, I mean, heavy lifting there for Texas Longhorns in the run defense department. But I will say, I think if Texas offense can get the ball going on the running game, I think that's the key, right? Like, the passing game, it is what it is. But in my opinion, Texas offense is kind of going to struggle in the passing game, but Texas's defense is just as bad in the passing game, so something's got to give there. But the running game, if Tech can actually make something shake in the run game where Texas has a decided advantage and Tech can actually move the ball a little bit and the O-line plays a little bit better, then that just opens up the game that much more in the passing game. Now, as we flip over to the other side of the ball and look at Tech's defense versus Texas's offense, does anybody want to have any jokes or any roasts at Sam Ellinger's expense, right? Like, do we want to talk about how he's just big for nothing, how you got all those muscles but can't throw past the 15 yards? Do we want to talk about how he was a two-star quarterback? How he's the Blake Bortles of college football. Anybody else got anything to say about Sam Ellinger?
I feel like you've been meditating on that a lot longer than Dylan and I together.
Honestly, roast Sam Ellinger.
Honestly, Sam, I've been making jokes about Sam Ellinger for 3 years now. I'm actually running out of material.
Wow, that's impressive.
I mean, something I noticed watching the UTEP game is none of his touchdown passes were necessarily impressive. They were all about less than 15 yards. And the corner/safety just took a terrible line or just lost their receiver. It was not impressive the way he scored touchdowns. But at the same time, you're looking at a secondary that just can't tackle, takes terrible lines, has no back-end help whatsoever, and you're like, oh my God, that's our secondary. So while I don't think Sam Ellinger is good, I think there's a good chance he roasts us.
Dude, he doesn't have to do much, you know? Right. He doesn't have to throw more than 15 yards. He can dink us all the way down the field.
And he's got a lot of weapons this year.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, so Sam Ellinger, if anyone watches the New Orleans Saints or watch their first game, reminds me a lot of 50-year-old Drew Brees.
I thought you were going to say Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill. I was, come on, bring in the Mormon.
Taysom Hill was...
He was electric, bro.
But the difference between him and Taysom Hill is that, 50-year-old Drew Brees just says, here, Michael Thomas, take this 5-yard pass.
To the house.
Pad my stats, okay? Here, Alvin Kamara, take this little dump and pad my stats.
Amen.
So, I mean, Texas's skill players, he got some beasts around him. Like Keyontae Ingram is a beast at running back. Malcolm Epps, who I feel like is still there for some reason. And then our receiver, Josh Moore, Brandon Schooler, Jordan Winning. Like, they got some studs that can play on the outside. So for Sam Ellinger, I mean, his job, I mean, like we look at, I'm looking at his stats right now against UTEP, 25-33. I expect that. All you got to do is, flip the ball to your closest guy that can run a 4.4 40 and take it to the house. I mean, Schooler had a 40-yard touchdown run when he was just silly and just took it to the house. Our secondary is going to have a problem with, you were alluding to, a serious problem with these receivers. I'm not expecting much from Ellinger. Who cares about Sam Ellinger?
I mean, but his job is just not to screw it up. And 9 times out of the 10, he does his job.
Yep. Yeah. He's a machine. But here's
the scary thing about Sam Ehlinger, though. Is I'm curious if this is going to continue. Sam Ehlinger, in the last game against UTEP, only ran the ball 3 times. And Sam Ehlinger is at his most dangerous when he's a dual threat quarterback. When he's running, when you don't know if he's going to run it or pass it, that's when he's at his most dangerous. If he just sit in the pocket, go right on ahead. You know what? Ehlinger, pass the ball. Fine. But if he's doing both, and I think that's where Texas is, Ehlinger has beaten the Red Raiders before, is that whenever Texas has a history of not being able to handle dual threat quarterbacks, and a guy like Ehlinger, who can just muscle his way past our D-line at times and also throw it the distance of where our D-line can be a dangerous prospect. So as we look at that, I kind of talk about Sam Ehlinger's running ability, and I kind of already alluded to Keontae Ingram and Malcolm X, but what do y'all think about the Texas running game as a whole and their O-line, Dylan? Like, how will our front seven be able to handle? I mean, those are some big boys they got running at us.
The way I see it is their run game is very good. I mean, you mentioned it. Keontae Ingram is really good. And then who's the quarterback who they moved to running back? Roshan Johnson. Also, very solid running
back. Sam Ehlinger?
Well, yeah. Oh. I mean, you include Sam Ehlinger in their run game too, like you mentioned. I'm confident in the run game. However, I think the worst part of this offense is their offensive line. Outside of Sam Cosmi, I don't think they returned anybody. They didn't give up any sacks per se, but Sam Ehlinger took a lot of hits against UTEP. So that's probably the most encouraging thing to me is the matchup of our D-line against their offensive line, because I think that's a really weak point for their team.
Jeremy, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that our strongest part, the front third of our defense is the strongest part of our defense. I mean, we have
Not the linebackers, but the front third.
Yes, like, the linebackers, like the front, Jeremy.
No, for us. Is that who you?
No, a defensive line and linebacker. The run defense.
I mean, forget Rico Jeffers and Krishan Merriweather, who just won like Big 12 Defense Player of the Year or of the Week. Forget him.
Forget that guy.
I mean, you know. So, but Eli Howard though.
Front third of the field, not the positional. So defensive. So anything with the run defense. I think we have a strong run defense. And there were moments in the Houston Baptist game where it felt like maybe not so much, but overall, and also, I mean, to be fair, or to be critical of my own point, Houston Baptist didn't run too much. but the average of, like, they're averaging about a yard anyways. I think that we have a good advantage against Texas's running games, despite them having people like Keontae Ingram, who is an absolute beast, more so than we have in the past couple of years. I think we're better equipped this year, especially with guys backing up the defensive line, like your man Krishan Merriweather, like guys like Rico Jeffers, to be able to add a little more muscle to the run stopping ability of our defensive line. Now, whether we can get around to the quarterback or not, Dylan thinks that Texas's offensive line is the worst part of their team. It may be right, but I think their offensive line is still on par, if not a little better than ours. It might be a little difficult to get to Ehlinger to cause like actual disruption, but we'll be able to get to him every play, even if it's like, what is it? What's the penalty called? Late hit? Yeah, I feel like we'll have a couple of those this game for some reason.
You know what's funny? Dylan said that he thinks that Texas's O-line is the worst part of their team, and I still think they're better than our D-line, funny enough. Of every position, if you're matching up position to position, I think the only spot where Tech has not the disadvantage is linebacker versus running back. And even then I call it a wash.
Cause I do think Ingram and Texas Tech's wide receivers match up favorably against their defensive backs.
Oh, that's a good, that's fine. Yeah.
That's the biggest mismatch to me.
Is Dalton Rigdon still a starter?
I think he
is. This week he's listed number one at the H. So yes.
Ah, okay. Well then I can't, oh man. Okay. No, to be fair, I that's a good point. I do think that second, I don't necessarily know. You know what? I'll go ahead and say it. I agree with that. I think Texas receivers, I do think that is the best position group on the team, despite the fact that one of our receivers gave away a fumble against HBU. But I do think that position group is the best position group on the team, and I think Texas's secondary is the worst. Now it's a question of the O-line keeping Alan Bowman upright enough to pass it to those skill players. Oh, Alan Bowman just needed to do what Sam Ellinger does, which is throw the ball 5 yards.
Do your job.
And also, what Alan Bowman needs to do, I think someone mentioned he only had 8 yards per completion. A, that's by design, and B, he missed his only 2 deep throws.
Oh, my God.
We've got to hit those deep throws against Texas.
But he's simply not a good deep ball thrower. He wasn't before he got hurt last year. The year before, he had his moments, but he never was consistent. Like, he's just not, in my opinion, he's just not a good deep ball thrower. And maybe that's maybe that explains why Yost doesn't call them often, but it's just not in his game. And that in itself is a problem, right? Guys, you know what else is a problem? The fact that the Big 12 Conference begins this week. Big 12 Conference play, as we've been talking about it. Texas Tech playing this week, as is every other team in the Big 12. The 9-game onslaught that is the Big 12 schedule all begins this week with a plethora of games. So let's get to it. Y'all ready to make some predictions so we can laugh at how wrong you are later?
Yeah. Let's just get over with.
Yeah. So let's start off with the early morning game. Kansas State at number 3, Oklahoma. Will the Wildcats pull off the big upset, Dylan? Will they do it?
Easy answer, no. Not a chance in hell. I mean, it's Oklahoma at home. After what Oklahoma did in their season opener, no. Just ain't happening.
But you're about to give the easy answer, right, Jeremy?
Sooners.
Oh, man. Y'all weak.
Kansas State lost to Arkansas State. Meanwhile, Oklahoma is coming off a 48-0 win. I mean,
guys, the spread is 27.5. If you put down the money line right now is +1200.
Oh, dude, I bet. No, okay, I'll take that under.
For K-State. I'm talking about the money line. The money line is +1200. If you pick K-State to win, oh my goodness, you put $10
down. I'll put
down.
$10 down. That's what, $12,000?
For fun.
A dollar. You get $1,200 bucks. That's awesome.
Got your dollar.
Gotcha.
Gotta be quicker than that.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's gonna beat the brakes off of K-State. Anyways, next game up, Iowa State at TCU. Jeremy, my Cyclones, they didn't look too hot.
Man.
They didn't look too hot.
It was subtly satisfying, my man, to watch Iowa State implode after all of the dark horse discussion that we put into it. so sad. I think that Iowa State does bounce back against TCU, though. They were right there in a lot of ways. It was the first game of the year for them. Not going to say that their opponent was anything worthwhile, but not that we would have beat them either way in any case. But I think that TCU is dealing with a lot of issues right now with COVID, with just a lot of missing depth chart, that Iowa State has more experience coming into this game. They're going to have more firepower. Iowa State. Even in Fort Worth, and
Who do you hate more, TCU or Iowa State? You personally?
I hate TCU more, but I think I
that's an easy answer.
Yeah,
I mean no, but you know, Jeremy,
but for me,
has this weird,
yeah.
Like,
so here's the thing. Like, let me just shout out to my friend Nate Smith. When I went to go do my doctorate, there was a guy from Iowa State, and I was like, I hate you, and he was like, why, man? And I was like, that's a good question. We had some beers. And I was like, you know what? You're not that bad. Twitter just really soured me towards you guys. He's like, yeah, no, we're cool.
Nobody hates Iowa State. Like, you're the only person.
Right, bro.
Person.
Oh, no, I've come around. I've come around.
Doors when Jeremy was running the
I've
Twitter.
Come around. It was just because of Wide Right's sarcasm and just relentlessness to clap back at everything I said. I was like, who do you think you are? And thus spawned the hate. But Iowa State wins this one easy, and I think they beat the line. It's at 2.5 Iowa State. I think they win by at least a touchdown.
Well, Jeremy's taking up like all of your talking time, Dylan. So who do you think?
Sorry, make it quick. When I pick Iowa State, it usually goes poorly for me. However, I have not learned my lesson because I'm going to pick them again in this game.
If they lose this weekend, Dylan, I'll be so mad.
If there's another team in the Big 12 that's been as ravaged by COVID as Texas Tech, it's TCU. And is Max Duggan going to play?
I don't
think so.
No idea. He is back practicing, and he's apparently going to be available for the game. But they haven't played yet. We have no idea how they'll look. And one thing that that week one of everybody playing has taught me is that these teams needed practice. And so because of that, I as well am going to pick Iowa State. All three of us going for Iowa State. That's surprising. There'll be some type of split there. Next up, the afternoon game, West Virginia at 15th ranked Oklahoma State. After Iowa State lost, a lot of people started hopping on the Cowboy bandwagon. Dylan, are you one of them?
No, and it's mostly because of health. I know Spencer Sanders is walking around campus in a boot right now, and I think that does just enough for me to pick Albie's West Virginia Mountaineers to win the game against 15-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Jeremy, are you with me?
Give me the Daggy magic. Dylan's right. I mean, as soon as Sanders went down, Oklahoma State had the hardest time against Tulsa. And they only scored 16 points against Tulsa. West Virginia, it's gonna be your night or your afternoon, 2:30.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, yes, they're gonna win this game. My boy Neil Brown's coming through. I told y'all about these West Virginia Mountaineers a year ago. And how they'd be on the right track. They're going to win this game on the road in front of like 10,000 people that haven't caught COVID in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Let's take it home. Spencer Sanders isn't playing, and that team looked awful once he got off the field.
I almost picked Oklahoma State just because I knew you were going to be obnoxious.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mountaineers might even be the Big 12 title game. Who knows? This is the year.
Okay.
The night game, unranked Kansas. The Fighting Grass Eaters at the Baylor Bears. Who wins this one, Jeremy?
You know, it's hard to say because we went with the experience thing for the Iowa State matchup, but I think that Kansas lost against Coastal Carolina 2 years in a row. Come on, guys.
I'll say this, Jeremy. Rules don't apply when you're picking a Kansas game.
It's true, man. It really does. Yeah, it doesn't. It fucking doesn't. I remember last year. It doesn't. Nothing matters. But I think that Baylor has been waiting for a long time to go play football. They've just been practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. And they get a tee off against Kansas. It may not be, a 17-point win because they're probably working out a lot of kinks. But it's going to be a good win nonetheless. Give me Baylor.
Dylan, are you going with the Bears as well? No, they haven't played. We just talked about TCU. Baylor has not played. Dylan, come on.
Yeah, go so Kansas. Baylor's first two games were canceled, and
Kansas has a quality loss under their belt.
It's hard for me to pick Baylor, but I'm going to. I think it's going to be really close, magic. Surprisingly close, like game-winning field goal for the Baylor Bears.
Oh, hell.
Kansas is going to make this game really interesting. But
we'll still meme it up.
So disappointing. Neither of y'all going with the Fighting Jayhawks?
No, neither are you.
Golly.
They're not fighting.
Dylan, come on. How are you going to call me out, bro? Of course I'm not going with Kansas. I don't think I've ever picked Kansas. We've been doing this podcast for how long now? I don't think I've literally ever picked Kansas.
But Puka Williams.
Yeah. I mean, no. I was Puka Williams. Puka. I was on the Puka hype train. And I still was like, Puka's going to get 150 yards, and they're going to lose by 20 yards.
And they're going to lose, like, yep. Well, he's good. So,
Kansas started three quarterbacks in their opener. Like, that doesn't inspire confidence.
More than us.
But I'll say this, though. I'm very curious how Baylor looks. I mean, they have a new, brand new. I feel bad for any team that has a brand new head coach this year, right? Because you have a brand new head. I can't remember who I was watching, but the new head coach that had only spent like a week with his players. Like he had the Zoom call for every meeting this offseason, and it's pretty sad. So, I mean, I know Baylor's probably dealing with the same issues, but at the end of the day, that team is still very talented from the year before, right? Like there's really no way around that. So Baylor wins this game. So last and at most, the number 8th ranked Texas Longhorns at the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You know, Tech, I mean, Jones used to be a dangerous place for a top 10 team to play. It has not been a dangerous place in like 6-7 years. But will it be a dangerous place this Saturday? 3:30 in the Jones in front of like the only 5 people in all of West Texas that haven't caught COVID. Dylan, who are you picking?
Oh, man. I'm so sorry. Air Raid podcast listeners, but this is just the biggest. I just don't see this happening for Texas Tech. I think this is the biggest Texas has been favored in Lubbock ever. The last time Tech beat Texas in Lubbock was 2008, and that took a half damn near miracle. I don't see it happening. Texas.
Get your take and your whole aura on over to Burnt Orange Nation with the predictions
they
like
didn't
that.
Ask
Jeremy,
me.
Wake us up.
Hey, I was going to make a COVID joke about the most dangerous thing in the Jones being, you know, the risk of catching COVID because of all the cases going up. But that's not funny. And also, you made the joke already. So, yeah, it sucks. I think that this is going to be a good game just because rivalry games always tend to be a little more exciting. Even when we've lost in the past years, it's been a good game till the end. And then, you know, like the last 5 minutes, it's like, okay, this game is awful because Texas is now just running out the clock. Sad ends to most of our games with them. But I think that this has all of the opportunity to be a really fun and exciting game. You know, we've got a couple players coming in like Schooler, like Tyrese from A&M, and we have a few more options defensively that can probably help us against Texas. I'm with Dylan though. I do not think that even if Texas has an off game, Texas Tech did not show me anything that was encouraging against Houston Baptist. So unless Houston Baptist is a premier team that I just did not want to admit before this, I think this is going to be a close game, but a loss nonetheless.
My goodness.
Before we get your answer, Albie, can I ask a question?
What's up?
The secondary figures to look a little different for Texas Tech on Saturday. DeMarcus Fields, I have no idea if he was a COVID scratch. He's listed third on the depth chart at second corner again. He's listed third at the spur, which I think he was week one, but it seemed like one of those COVID scratches. And then Jamarcus Ingram didn't play last week either. If both of those guys play, does that change anything for anybody?
Yes.
Oh, it does, Jeremy. Does that mean you're switching your prediction?
Man, do y'all remember Oklahoma State a couple years ago? Man, who was quarterbacking for the Cowboys?
Corndog?
Tries to throw that fade out to the right, and then DeMarcus Field picks it off at like the 15 and takes it to the house. We lost that game, but you know, I think DeMarcus Fields by himself has a lot of experience at defensive back, has a lot of instinct, and just having him around is a good boost to the rest of the defensive backs around him. So if he's there, it does make me feel like there is an opportunity for some upset.
And you are going to change your prediction, right?
If DeMarcus Fields is on the field at the snap, I will change my prediction to Texas Tech.
There we go, Jeremy. There we go. Call me upset. You're being a Red Raider. How about that?
You're welcome, podcast listeners.
Red Raider Nation. How about that, Red Raider Nation? Jeremy Gillen says the Texas Tech Red Raiders will destroy the Texas
Oh,
line.
God. Look at what Albert's okay. doing. Look at
there
what he's doing.
There we go, Jeremy. You know what? Look at what he's doing. And me, I'll be sure. I am not with you. There's no way in hell Texas beat Texas.
Look at
that. Listen,
look at this guy.
I'll tell you this. Cliff Kingsbury didn't do a lot of things right. You know what he did do right? He beat Texas. Right? He impressively beat Texas. He caught out all the stops to beat Texas. You know who can't beat Texas so far? Matt Wells. That game last year didn't look too good. And guess what? Texas is better. And so far, Texas Tech does not look any better. So there's really not a position here, a matchup. Dylan, you actually corrected me because the Tech receivers versus Texas DBs, I do think, is an advantage. Outside of that, I don't see it. I just don't see it. As much as I trash Ellinger, I think right now Ellinger's a better quarterback. I think their running backs are better, and their O-lines are better. I think their D-line's better. I think the linebackers... No, their linebackers are better. I don't see a situation where Tech has an advantage. I don't know. Last year we lost by 25. I'm just hoping we don't lose by more than that. Right. I'm sorry, people. The qualifying factor that would help is if we had a packed 60,000 people stadium. But guess what? We won't. So, maybe somebody can pull a fire alarm at 2 a.m. in their hotel the night before. I like, and even that just means that we'll lose by 24 instead of 25. I don't know. We're going to get whacked.
The best thing we can hope for is that week one of college football was a fluke for a lot of teams, including Texas Tech football. We can hope that the secondary will be much improved, assuming Fields and Ingram play. We could assume Schooler would help out that situation too, being available this week. But man, I'm just not optimistic.
No, I mean, and here's the thing is that I'm not even taking last week into account, because though that game felt terrible, I mean, just looking at the roster, but this was an auto L. When I looked at the sketch, I'm like, yeah, this is, I'm not even cross it out. It's an auto L. This is the, yeah, like UTs, they're just a much, I haven't felt this pessimistic about a Tech UT game in probably a decade, like over a decade. Like this is a, such a vast disadvantage for the Red Raiders here. I say we just, you know, play a good game. Treat this as a scrimmage. See where we can get better, right? See where
play we another can get quarterback.
Play another quarterback. See where we can, you know, make some adjustments. Who knows? Actually, it could be a blessing if Texas just blows the hell out of us so badly that we just play our backups, right? And see what we can do. That's what I'm hoping for in this game. As we've lost most of our listeners because of my rant about how bad the team will get beaten on Saturday. Jeremy, is there anything else you want to tell the people?
Not a single thing, Albert. Let's just crack a cold one.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Jeremy, you're the one that predicted a Texas Tech blowout win. So
look at this man slandering me all over the internet.
So, hey, keep your prediction strong. Dylan, anything you want to tell people?
Bananas are a great source of potassium.
That is true. I've heard that.
There you go.
Yeah. There we go.
Hydrate yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I have to say, Tech has a tall task. Tall task, to say the least, this Saturday. But on the bright side, you know, the week after we play K-State, who looks just as bad. So, you know, silver
lining.
That'll
be a fun game. That'll be a fun game.
Silver lining there. And actually, both us and K-State playing arguably the two best teams in the Big 12. So. So a little bit of a silver lining, but I don't hold my hope out for even a good game this Saturday. I think this is going to be really rough, but hopefully I'm wrong. That's what we hope for when we predict against the Red Raiders, that we will be wrong and that we will come here and Jeremy will be the only right one and he'll come and rub it in our faces. I just highly doubt it. So guys, we're back on our regular scheduled programming for the Air Raid podcast. Be prepared to, you're going to get the recap pod will come out early next week as we recap what the Red Raiders did Saturday, and then we'll have a few more pods after that. But it'll be a regularly scheduled programming of Air Raid podcast to come now that we are in full season mode. So be on the lookout for that. And as always, follow us at Air Raid Podcast on Twitter.
So sorry. I was holding that for. I felt like I was holding that for a long time as you outroed. Oh, I couldn't Lord, hold Jesus. It.
Could have been muted, but now it's burned into the podcast. Right. So
yeah, there's,
you
okay.
can cut that.
That's the way to end it there. For Sneezy Jeremy, for Dylan, this is Albie. You've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast, been with the Matadors. As always, stay wrecked, people.